Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I want to take a moment to welcome the newest member of our Sunbury Broadcasting family, Jennifer Wakeman. You just heard her on the news. You heard her at 3:30 as well, 3 o'clock. Outstanding broadcast professional, and we're thrilled to have her on board as part of our family, part of our team. So, Jennifer Wakeman, welcome. She is a valuable addition to what we do at Sunbury Broadcasting. I'm just outside of Chicago. I'm in Evanston. Penn State basketball tomorrow against Northwestern, 3 o'clock Eastern time, 2:30 the air time, as the two teams score off. Now tonight, Kevin and the Chief Dave Ritchie have Shamokin and Shikellamy basketball at Shamokin in a 4-5 matchup. The winner faces the winner of Mifflinburg-Lewisburg, and they will play the game tonight. You've had a lot of movement of games tomorrow because there's a winter storm warning in effect now for central Pennsylvania. I know in some areas they're talking 2 to 4. Now they're talking certain areas 3 to 6. Some areas of the Allegheny Mountains, though, they're talking about 5 to 8. That's why the winter storm warning was put into effect. That's why tomorrow's games have a lot of moving parts to them, and Kevin will talk about that in a moment. But tonight's Shamokin-Shikellamy game is absolutely on, and, of course, you will have it absolutely on News Radio 1070 WKOK this evening with Kevin and the Chief. Tomorrow, though, is a different story. We'll get to that in a moment. First of all, today's show being brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection anywhere. On top of that, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, second to none. Huge fan of the barrel pickles. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Why don't you stock up tonight? A little bit of snow around the area tomorrow. You want to make sure you're fully stocked for the weekend with the Daytona 500, the Great American Race, flying around the Daytona International Speedway and on your TV set on Sunday. And also, we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio Mobile today. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. It was the day where Kevin had to turn in the Kia Sorento. What a vehicle that is.
Yeah, I had to turn in the 2016 Kia Sorento, and we've been talking all week about the fact that it's newly redesigned. And I believe it's Motor Trend, the magazine that has a review out, and they reviewed it very, very highly. And I can understand why, because the ride is fantastic. Quieter cabin, smooth suspension. You have 5,000-pound towing capacity available with the V6 all-wheel drive. Plus, there's a turbo 2.0 four-cylinder that's available as well. And the best part about it is when you have a vehicle that can seat six at least, or I should say at least five, and some of them are of the younger generation that Steve talked about with Tony Knopp, as well as what we talked about at the end of the show yesterday, you have to have some accessory ports available. And that has two in the front, a high-speed USB charger in the armrest in the front, plus several in the back as well. Everybody can be charging everything, and you'd be running with fuel mileage at about 20 around the highway, 28 or more on the highway, 20 around town. With the 2016 Kia Sorento. And the best part is, especially for tomorrow, all-wheel drive. Check it out. It is available at Sunbury Motors Kia dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Say hi to Kyle and all the folks there.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
I do have to share one quick funny story with you. As I'm dropping the vehicle off, we're talking a little bit about it, and I drive away, and I get back here to the studio and realize I still have the key fob in my pocket. It was not a conspiracy to keep the vehicle. I want to make sure that that's clear. It was the first time I've ever done that. We got to talking, and I looked in my pocket, and I'm like, huh. Well, I guess I'll be stopping back.
Well, the only conspiracy on wheels is, gee, let's get Danica Patrick into some sort of stew. Thus, people go, wait a minute, what's going on? And draw eyeballs to the TV set.
You're so negative.
I'm not a believer in this.
You're so negative. I'm telling you. And you're talking about me being... I thought that was... I actually thought Denny Hamlin handled it very well. I thought they both handled it well. I mean, you know, there was no pushing. There was no shoving. You know, it was heated, but it was under control. And, you know, it never dawned on me that it was staged like you're insinuating.
Fraud. All right.
You're just a racing hater.
No. Okay. Let's be realistic here. All right. When was NASCAR's heyday?
I would probably say it's maybe 10, as many as 15 years ago.
Yes. And who was the central figure in NASCAR's heyday?
Dale Earnhardt Sr.
And what did Dale Earnhardt Sr. bring to the table?
Well, he was at least known to some people who did not like him that much as a man who would do whatever it takes to the win, to make the win or take the win, even if it meant putting you into the wall.
Which meant that to his fans, he wore the white hat, and to those who did not root for him or rooted against him, he wore the black hat.
That's why he was nicknamed the Intimidator.
That's why. What we talked about in the last sequence, right? About Tiger Woods.
Okay.
What makes Tiger Woods incredibly intriguing? Most talented guy out there. I think you could argue Earnhardt had the best equipment with Hendricks and may have been the most talented guy out there. And also won a lot. Earnhardt won a lot. Tiger Woods won a lot. And on top of that, Woods to his fans was heroic and their hero, which goes back to what you talk about over all the time with what you do, like Bettis is your hero. And
football hero.
And then, yeah, sure. And I heard you laughing.
Well, I mean, there's a difference. Yeah, a lot of people, the hero is a word that is used wrong. He's a hero on the field, not necessarily off the field. I don't idolize him for what he does off the field, but I do respect and appreciate what he did on the field.
Ah, you love him. All right, and then what did Woods? Those who wanted to see Tiger Woods lose, and there was a segment that wanted to see Dale Earnhardt Senior lose. So they had their legions of fans that just, I mean, you would drive down anywhere in central Pennsylvania. How many number three flags did you see hanging out a window?
Oh.
All over the place.
I can't even count.
All right, all over the place. I mean, that's the way it is. Same thing with Tiger Woods. Why the ratings exponentially higher when he is out there on the golf course. And the ticket sales are exponentially higher when he's playing on the golf course. And every sport needs this. I can't stand the Lakers. Love the Lakers. I can't stand the Celtics. I love the Celtics. I can't stand the Patriots. I love the Patriots. You know, depending on where you live. It's, you know, we mentioned Floyd Mayweather. Okay? There... Sports, and there's no one that perfected it better, and this is not a sport, but it's an entertainment source. No one perfected it like the WWE. No one did.
Well, I mean, let's face it, that's a big storyline. Yeah, I mean, you know.
It's likability versus villain. Can the villain be defeated? And it drew people in, and they just, oh, they couldn't stand, you know. Now, they crossed a lot of lines. I mean, you know, I mean, here's suddenly in early 1980, a popular wrestler's named the Iron Sheik. It's like, okay, really, this may not really fit with today's.
Actually, my favorite was Nikolai Volkov, who, by the way, spoke English very, very well when you talked to him outside the ring.
Right, exactly. But that's one of the interesting part of sports is, do you have that good guy, bad guy syndrome that draws the casual fan in and gets them involved in the game? So Deflategate gets you involved. Oh, there goes those Patriots again. They're cheating again. And the Seahawks mouth off during the course of the week, and then people aren't exactly enamored with them. And then you go college basketball. College basketball has the perfect foil right now. It's called Kentucky, right? Kentucky plays. People are aching to see the freshmen get their comeuppance and lose. Meanwhile, there are people who look at the game and they love the legions of Kentucky basketball fans. If you've ever been in a hotel with Kentucky in the tournament or in your region, which we have, wow. They take over. But the college basketball has that. Okay, college football. Florida State was perfect for that this year. People kept waiting every week for them to lose. You know, and Jimbo Fisher getting uptight about it and so forth. It happens all the time in the conference. You know, Michigan and Ohio State and Penn State get people upset. Texas gets them upset in the Big 12. Alabama gets them mad in the SEC. Out west, it's USC.
So you're saying to watch sports, we need somebody to hate?
No, I think it draws the casual fan in. It's the additional storyline that you talk about. See, I'll watch the game because I love the game. But the casual fan, a storyline, which you talk about often, draws them in. And one thing NASCAR doesn't have right now is NASCAR, for example, doesn't have that, quote, villainous personality in it until Denny Hamlin kept wrecking the woman.
Well, yeah, Brad Keselowski, he's filled the role pretty well.
Who's he? Did Brad Keselowski hit Danica Patrick?
No.
No, yeah, but Denny Hamlin has twice this week. Or three times. Two or three
twice.
Times.
Twice that I know of.
Twice. So he has wrecked her car on two different occasions.
That is correct.
Which I find incredibly ironic to really have been in that same spot twice. Really?
Well, I mean, I have to admit, you know, as I was watching the race last night, I'm thinking, you know, she's awfully loose when he gets underneath, but he's not. Everybody's smart enough not to know you cannot push going into the apex of three. Unfortunately, Denny Hamlin didn't know that and got into the left rear bumper. And when he pushed, the car lost any of the grip it had.
They're either really, really lucky, or it's one of the great coincidences of all time, or it was set up very nicely. Because it is something people are talking about today in conjunction with Sunday's race, in a race that has seen ratings sound more like the men's room.
I don't know. I can't understand where Denny Hamlin's NASCAR. Coming from here.
Well, I can.
No, I mean, I don't understand why
he did not hit Jimmy Johnson from behind. Okay, he did not hit Dale Earnhardt Jr. Okay,
that would have been bad too.
He didn't hit Kurt Busch. He didn't hit whatever. He didn't. I mean, and he steers very clear of Richard Petty in the parking lot when he drives in. So, but for some odd reason.
What I don't understand is at that point in the race, before the incident. Everyone that was driving was going to make the Daytona 500. There was absolutely no one on the racetrack that wasn't going to make the 500. Now, if his spotters and crew are doing his job...
And may I ask you that if that is the case and it finishes clean, what are we talking about today?
I don't know. I understand where you're coming from, but I cannot buy the conspiracy theory. For once, I'm the one that's not buying the conspiracy theory.
I think of all the people you could have set up in this spot, she's the one you want.
I mean, you make a good point. I'm not going to debate that. I just can't buy the conspiracy theory thought. I just don't understand. Why are you racing for a position when you don't need it? That's like sitting at the Masters with a 5-stroke lead and deciding to go for the green and be on the green and with a chance to eagle. Why?
Because there's no particular reason for that, but to get people interested in your Super Bowl, you might have to do something.
Well,
She's a pretty good choice.
I mean, Fox had the cameras. As a matter of fact, I doubt you were watching this portion of the race, but when Fox was actually doing, Fox Sports 1 actually did a breakaway for a promo for their in-studio version of SportsCenter with their two hosts. And they had the video that they were shooting from Daytona behind it. And no one really was, I don't think anybody told them what was on the video for a few seconds until all of a sudden they looked at the monitor and realized that, that Danica and Denny Hamlin were in a little bit of an argument and immediately stopped the promo and went back to Daytona. I mean, the timing of it wasn't perfect for Fox if it was staged. How's that?
Had the camera right there, though, didn't they?
They did have the camera there, but they were not in a full video shot at that point. They were in a promo for their version of whatever they call SportsCenter.
She got there faster than they wanted her to.
But they did.
We'll come back.
Oh, come on. They did cut away quick, I'll give you that.
Yeah. Amazing how that happened.
She got there faster than they wanted.
Okay, exactly where is that going to take place?
What? Where's
usually
what?
It's going to take place in the garage away from everybody else.
Nah, I don't know about that anymore. It used to be that way, but I don't think so anymore. Right now it's happening on pit road as soon as everybody comes in. At one point I would have agreed with you, but not anymore.
Why? Why? Why?
Well, nobody sees it if it happens back where the trailers are.
We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915. Love it when the traffic, love it when they slide, love it when the back straight throttles open wide, love it when they're making lots and lots of noise, can't wait to hear the double say. Boogity, 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 let's go racing, boys! Let's go racing, boys.
Welcome back to the Steve Jones Show. Steve in Chicago, Illinois, here this afternoon, getting ready for Penn State tomorrow. Tonight, here on WKOK, it is Shikellamy taking on Shamokin, PIAA Class AAA District 4 first-round quarterfinal game, I guess you could call it. Lewisburg taking on Mifflinburg later on tonight as well. Winners will match up next week. Airtime for Shamokin Shikellamy, 6:45 tonight. The full slate of AA, AAA, and girls and boys PIAA District 4 basketball games scheduled for tomorrow have all been postponed to Sunday and Monday. Go to WinterNet at WKOK.com to see that list.
Yes, and obviously it's a long list because there is a winter storm warning in effect for central Pennsylvania, and we'll remind everyone of that. you're not buying the fact that we can see through what they're doing.
I'm not buying. I mean, I understand what you're saying, that NASCAR will do something for ratings. All right, maybe, yeah. But I'm sorry, I do not think that that whole thing was staged. Now, does NASCAR love the fact that it happened? Absolutely loves the fact that it happened. The fact that it didn't involve Brad Keselowski again, where most fans would say, oh, here we go again, just like in the chase last year, that's different. But I do understand if you're going to start controversy, let's start it with one of our more popular, or let's put it this way, noted drivers. And that's what they did.
I mean, she is one of the most popular drivers on the tour. I mean, no question about that. And she's still going to end up finishing 20-something. I mean,
you know what? I'm not so sure this time, Steve. What she did in a backup car last night with very little laps on it, listen, she really moved up from the... I mean, she started the back end of the field. She was already in the top seven by five laps into the race. I was really impressed with the way she drove last night. It was a lot different than I've seen in the past. I think she's got a better than average chance to at least finish in the top half of the field this time. My pick is still Junior, because I don't know that anybody's going to catch him unless he has a mechanical issue. But, man, he was driving all over the track, but Danica ran well with a car that was a backup.
All right, more of the News Radio 1070 WKOK Racing Kool-Aid next half hour.
Quenching your thirst.
Plus, we'll talk about freshman Hill eligibility.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection anywhere. And with the winter storm rolling in, you need to stock up for the weekend. Make sure you're all set to go for the big Daytona 500 coming up on Sunday. While it's going to be lousy out tomorrow and into tomorrow night, there's no need for you to travel around because you'll stock up tonight. Snacks, they roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Soft drinks, and of course the pickle bar is second to none, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Freshman ineligibility, we'll talk about that in a moment. Kevin, I'll let you make your pick on the Daytona 500. You're picking Dale Jr. to win.
Yes.
And the reason being?
What he showed last night was the ability to run any line at any time and still have speed saved up for slingshots. And I just think right now that he has the best car out there. The only thing that could really stop him from winning this race is if there's some sort of an incident around him. Because I don't see mechanical failure being an issue for that team either. I just think that car, I just think right now Dale Jr. and the car are set up to run just about anywhere he wants to run. He can run high, he can run low, and still have the same speed. So it sets up really well for a super speedway if you could do that.
Okay. I don't usually take a lot from the exhibition football season, but okay.
Well, you can learn a lot from practice too, Steve. Somebody told me that once.
Thank you. Learn a lot about who's going to play, what's going to do.
You can learn a lot about how a car is going to run from watching the practice sessions, too.
And you've watched all the practice sessions?
No, I only needed to watch last night. I already knew what his times were from earlier in the week.
Okay. Well, good. That sounds great.
And Danica finishes in the top half as long as she doesn't find herself in front of Denny Hamlin.
Okay.
She'll be in the top half. She's got a car that can finish in the top half.
Can she drive it to the top half?
I think she can drive it to the top half. The real question is, will she get involved in the big one, which is inevitably going to happen toward, I would say, mile about 125 to 150. I'm sorry, lap 125 to 150.
Okay. Huh. How about that? All right. Well, that's coming up on Sunday at the Daytona International Raceway. How'd your guy Gordon do? Your big Gordon guy.
Jeff Gordon?
Yeah.
He's on the pole.
Yeah, just saying.
I'm not a big Jeff Gordon guy.
Oh, come on.
He's
who
okay.
Are you a fan of?
What's that?
Who are you a fan of?
In NASCAR? I like Junior. I really do. I've always liked him. And Danica, because of her open wheels experience.
So you buy jeans
no.
and you go to Tax Slayer to get your
no. And I also like, and I know this is going to be one that a lot of NASCAR fans are going to chuckle about, but again, I go with the guy, the folks that have been in open wheels as well. I like Tony Stewart too. You always know what he's thinking.
All right, the combine going on, and so far a good start for Jesse James. And as expected, he has combined well. He knocked out 26 reps at 225 pounds, which actually is about three or four fewer than I thought he would, because I've been around when he's cranked out 30 before. But he knocked out 26. His 40 time is really good. And that's and I'm not surprised. I knew he would go in and he would be a combine and would do really well at it. Also, Donovan Smith knocked out 26 reps at 225 pounds. That was big for him as well. So the two of them are going through their work today and their 40 times today. And then you have on Sunday, it's Mike Hull. And if Hall's completely set, expect Hull to go out there and run maybe a 4.5 40, and expect him to knock out 30 reps at 225. I mean, expect that. That's what he does. As long as that knee's okay, and I think that knee is fine now. And Monday, it is going to be Adrian Amos will go out there. And you were telling me a young guy from a Division III school did well today in the 40-yard dash.
Actually, I didn't get the names, but I know there were a couple of linemen that were, I think, 5-4 40s for the fastest lineman. It was a sub-5-4 for a 300-pound lineman, and I didn't get the name, but they said one of the guys was from Hobart. One from Hobart and the other from William Smith Colleges. They set the fastest 40 time for an offensive lineman. Ali Marpet, I believe, from Hobart and Williams South Colleges.
And the big story, of course, is dealing with Jameis Winston now. Weakness in his throwing shoulder. Medical exam showed it. He underwent the examination on the shoulder. And it's caused by a nerve problem. It can be treated with therapy if necessary. No other specifics. Now, he had the shoulder done 2 years ago. And he says that he is he's had some discomfort. They had a media session planned from yesterday, postponed him because he was at the hospital. He had an MRI done on him. And so we'll see. Marcus Mariota, meanwhile, will throw at the combine. So the Winston thing, interesting. The Big Ten has been, and all the conferences have been doing this, the Power Five conferences. I flat out don't get the freshman ineligibility thing. I don't get it. I don't understand why they're pushing it. first of all, let's take football, for example. Penn State had 25 guys on the roster last year, or excuse me, 24 true freshmen on the roster last year. How many of them played? 8. 32% of your freshmen, or 33% of your freshmen, 33% played last year. The other 16 redshirted. Some years it's as low as 3, 4, 5 playing out there. So redshirting has been in vogue in football forever. It's done occasionally in basketball. For example, Peyton Banks and Julian Morth both redshirted last year for Penn State. Isaiah Washington's in that boat this year. Okay. Basketball also has a lot more redshirting in this regard. There's more transfers. I mean, we are now, was it February 20th? We are 6 weeks away from having transactions look like the waiver wire in basketball. Guys transferring out left and right and being picked up by other schools. I mean, it looks like the waiver wire. This is an overreaction by a wide margin to the one and done. First of all, the number of college basketball players that go on and play in the NBA is small. A guy like Tim Frazier, it's been a lucky ride for him. He just signed a second 2-day contract with the Sixers last night. Then at the end of that 10-day period, so on March 2nd, right around there, the Sixers then have to make a final decision on whether to keep him on the roster for the rest of the year.
Do they have anybody else to play his position on the roster right now?
Didn't they get Tyler Ennis in this trade? I think they got Tyler Ennis out of Syracuse, but I don't know what his status is right now. And when you look at the number of guys that have gone into the NBA draft, it's not that high a number. It's just not. And that's what really strikes me, is how few one-and-dones there are that are actually in the draft. Now, do I like the rule? No, I've already told everybody repeatedly what I would love to see idealistically. And I don't know if it's realistic, but idealistically, 18 years old, you make your choice. I'm going to go to the NBA draft. I can be the next Kevin Garnett. I can be the next LeBron James. I can be the next Kobe Bryant. Okay. And if I opt for college, I have to make a 3-year commitment. Conversely, the college has to make a 4-year commitment to me. And if I need a red shirt, a 5th. But the university has to make a 4-year playing commitment to me. All right? And I use the playing commitment part in case a red shirt's needed. At the end of 3 years, if I think I'm ready to play pro basketball, I can opt for the draft. To me, that's the way to go. But that's not what the Players Association wants. They've already come out and they made the statement this week. They're adamant. Could it be a negotiating ploy? Yes, it could be. You never discount anything anymore, which I tried to tell you earlier with NASCAR. So, let's see. Who would be one and dones last year? Going through all the draft picks here last year. How many one and dones? A lot of foreign guys. Let's see. No.
By the way, while you're looking at that, I was looking at the Sixers roster. There's more guys with pictures of jerseys other than Sixers jerseys on that right now.
Right. Oh, yeah, sure, of course.
Talk about revamp.
Oh, I know, I understand that. I don't even know if they're revamped. Let's see.
If you're a season ticket holder, they should be offering you a rebate discount, or you can use your tickets toward the purchase of next year's season tickets.
Right. Well, let's see here. Tyler Ennis was a one and done. That's one. One, two. Let's see. One, two. Nope. Nope. Three, four, five, six, seven, eight. 8 1 and duns in the first round last year. Eight. You know how many freshmen there were last year? 250.
But it's a high profile eight.
To three, well, sure it is, but it's 3.2% of the freshmen. 242 came back and played college this year. And not only that, this year of what are they calling it? Year of preparation, is that what they're calling it? The Big Ten? You know, freshman ineligible, year of preparation. All right. Which schools right now are falling below the APR line? None. There isn't one school below the APR line, which includes your freshmen. Which schools? UConn was knocked out of the tournament 2 years ago, got theirs back up stronger than ever. They're the only school, Kevin. So obviously, freshmen are doing fine academically as well. They're a mixed bag like anybody else. Some guys are lazy. Some guys have to be pushed. Some guys come in, they're a whiz. Some guys come in and their time management's lousy, even though they're smart. Some guys are smart and have great time management. They're a cross-section of society like anybody else. Crazy. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. One thing that really strikes me about the freshman ineligibility thing, of course, is that the NBA controls this. This is not a college. I mean, now colleges can control freshmen being eligible or not, but they can't control what the NBA does about one and dones. They can't. They can beg and plead. The league wants to see it go up to 2 years, and I think if they do, they'll be flexible on age. Because right now it's 19 years of age in 1 year. I don't think you have to be 20 years old. If you're in college for 2 years, you know, because it depends on when you enter school, for goodness sakes, to be eligible for the draft. And I just, I don't understand why a union is looking out for people who are not a member of their rank and file yet. And the NBA, I mean, it would benefit them. They want a mature league. You know, why do you draft prospects? The NFL doesn't draft prospects until it gets to like rounds 5, 6, and 7. Rounds 1, 2, 3, and 4, you're looking for people to step in and play ball for you now. Now. I mean, it's very rare. Usually 6 out of 7 guys that you draft make your roster. They are playing for you. In the NBA, 3-year deal, we're hoping at the end of 3 years that he'll develop into something. Really? Really? The NBA drafts one of the strangest things I watch every year. And this is a foreign player. They're going to stash him in Yugoslavia for 2 years. What? Really?
It's like Europe has been the minor league now. Not the D-League, but Europe is the minor league for the NBA.
Some ways. I know that Adam Silver made what I consider a very progressive expansion idea of 4 expansion teams in Europe. And that would make sense as compared to what the NFL does. For example, the Celtics go on a four-game road trip to London, Paris, Rome, Madrid. Then when that, you know, and then other teams, then three other teams follow them over, do the same thing. And then after that, those four teams come to America and they go on their road trip and then go back home and the same thing. Actually makes sense by having multiple teams instead of just one. It's a strange world we live in. Hey, stock up at Brewer's Outlet tonight, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Your station.